Okay, so just to check, can everybody hear me okay? Yeah. If my voice fades, then just make the sign like this. Not like this. Like this, okay? Okay, so first of all, thank you very much, Lucy, and to Cognitive Law for inviting us. My name's David Jones, and I'm Chair of Trustees of Brighton Yoga Foundation. I wouldn't blame you if secretly most of you are sitting here thinking, why on earth have we got a speaker about yoga? I do hope he's not going to ask us to do it. Rest assured, you're not going to be asked to do any, and I'm not just talking about yoga in general, I'm talking about the work that we do. But you probably think that because yoga has a bit of an image problem. I mean, if you look at pictures in the main sort of media about yoga, it's either someone sitting quietly with their arms out this and their eyes closed, looking in very serene, or it's someone standing on a cliff top doing some exotic yoga pose for Instagram. And that's actually the image which yoga has. But ironically, the people who would most benefit from yoga are the people who don't have access to it, are the people who can't afford it, are the people who don't think it's for people like them, or people who've never even heard of it. They would benefit more than the people you see in the pictures on Instagram or in the media. And that's what we do, the Brighton Yoga Foundation. We try to take yoga to those who need it most. And we call it community outreach or therapeutic yoga. That's what we do. Just a bit of context, really. I mean, talking about sort of social and other issues which society is facing at the moment, I don't need to talk to you about COVID. Long COVID is now estimated to be likely to affect up to 1 million people over the next few years. Lots and lots of respiratory problems which people are going to develop from it as a result. There's widespread trauma being introduced as a result of COVID, not just health workers who've sat there watching people die, but other people who've lost friends, family. Lots of trauma as a result of COVID. There was already a big mental health issue in this country, particularly amongst young people. It's not recognised by most people just how deep the mental health crisis is for many young people who are scared, terrified about their future because of the climate change catastrophe. There's also an increasing recognition these days of trauma in general and how many people have suffered it. It's one of those things that was a bit buried. Most people didn't talk about it. But now it's quite mainstream. Lots of people do know about it. I read an estimate the other day of a survey, an international survey, which reckoned that 1 in 3 families across the globe, just take this in, 1 in 3 families across the globe had violent relationships inside that family. 1 in 3. So there is a lot of hidden trauma. People have gone through sexual abuse, domestic abuse, physical abuse or whatever. Lots of children. There's also increasing recognition of obesity and what an important issue that is facing society. And addictions to gambling, to alcohol. And I drink, by the way, so I'm not being too precious about this. Alcohol, tobacco, other things like that. And there's also inequality and poverty. The massive increase in inequality and what that's doing to lots of people and how they're struggling to cope with that. The social isolation which has been caused by that poverty and the degree to which care and compassion has been lost in communities. That care and compassion that keeps us all going. So those are some of the sort of background, some of the sort of contextual issues in which we operate. And the funny thing is that I know I would say this because it's my charity, isn't it? But I can honestly say that community outreach yoga uniquely ticks every one of those boxes. There's very, very few other things that tick all of them. It ticks just about every one of those crises, social problems which we were talking about. You know, there's a huge body of research now about the benefits of yoga physically and mentally. Not just general improvements in fitness and strength and flexibility, although they're fairly well documented. There was a bit of discussion going on earlier on my table about football. I'm a football fan myself, and the two Premiership footballers who've had the most Premiership appearances of all time, Ryan Giggs, Gareth Barry, both did yoga throughout the whole of their careers, and that's not an accident. But it's also yoga gives improvements in people's attitude towards their own self-care and their outlook on life in general and their ability to socialise and be valuable, useful members of the community. It helps to calm the nervous system. I don't know if you've ever heard about the fight or flight response. I don't know if anybody's ever come across this. This is quite well known now, something which was ignored before. We have, because we're basic sort of animals really, we have this basic thing fitted into our system whereby if we're attacked by a lion, as we were 5,000 years ago, or these days by someone wants to rob us or something, there's a fight or flight response. The body is pumped full of adrenaline and other things like that in order to make us ready to deal with the danger that we face, the imminent danger. And as a result, we breathe very narrowly. We go like this and we're absolutely ready to jump, fight or flight. And what we found now, what psychologists have found now, is that there are large parts of the population, through the stress, maybe through their job, maybe through their personal situation, maybe through trauma which they've suffered, which have that type of thing permanently. So constantly that adrenaline has been pumped into their body and they cannot relax and they cannot de-stress. Yoga is one of those things, the yoga breathing techniques which we do, have been medically, scientifically proven to actually help to overcome. They stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system, for those of you into biology, which actually overcomes that fight or flight response. It's great for dealing with trauma stored in the body. I don't know if people are aware of this concept. Those of you might have read, there's a great book called The Body Keeps the Score, which you should read if you haven't already read it, which is brilliant about how people who've suffered various setbacks and trauma, they store it in their body. How many times do we see people hunched, people in their jaw, tension in the jaw, tension in the hips? Often it's a result of bad things which have happened to them, and it gets stored in the body, not just in the brain. Yoga, again, helps to actually unwind that stress, helps to unwind those difficulties. It also helps people to reconnect their mind and their body. A lot of the people that we deal with, and our clients, and I'll come on to that in a bit, are people who, for example, might have suffered from domestic abuse, sexual violence. And they, to cope with that, they've separated themselves from their body. So their body is over here. This is what happens to this thing over here. It's not me. And that separation is a coping mechanism, but it's not healthy. It's something which needs to be reconnected. Lots of people get reconnected through yoga, reconnecting their body and their breath. So what do? Well, we raise money, mainly through grants. I come on to who does that for us, who gets it for us. And we actually provide free yoga classes for people who suffer in all the sorts of ways that I've just said. That's what we do. That's our shtick. And currently we're running 11 classes a week, 11 free yoga classes a week. Some people donate, who are able to donate again, but there's no barrier to coming to the classes. It's completely free if you can't afford it. And we carried on throughout the whole of lockdown, taking our classes online, Zoom classes. And actually, a lot of our clients preferred the Zoom classes because they were more anonymous. Funnily enough, they found it actually easier to cope with. Sometimes people found it very difficult to even physically come to the classes that we put on because they had to get on a bus and they were scared. They had to travel across town. They didn't have the money for the bus fare. That might be something that, you know, I have money for a bus fare. Probably all of you have money for a bus fare. But for some people, money for bus fares is an issue. It varies week by week, but we're dealing with something like 60 to 100 people a week. And over the years now, we've been going since 2016, I'll mention that again in a moment, we've dealt with literally hundreds of people. The people that we work with, generally we work with other charities, and you'll probably know a lot of these charities, who work with a couple of the charities that we deal with. So, for example, we work with Rise and Survivors Networks, who are the women's charities, who are brilliant organisations. We work with Oasis, the addiction charity, Millview Mental Health Hospital. We're doing a class today at Millview Mental Health Hospital. We work with Mind, Macmillan Cancer, Turning Tides, Homeless People's Charity, and we're over in Worthing. Voices in Exile for refugees and asylum seekers. We work with fibromyalgia groups. We get referrals from GPs and the NHS. And we do a lot of work in schools. There's a lot of yoga in schools. Almost every primary school in the city now has yoga classes of some sort or other. And we work with deprived communities, with other sort of charities like Trust for Developing Communities, the Hangleton and Knoll Project, which again, probably some of you will have heard of. So that's who we work with. We get grants from all sorts of people. The council has given us grants in the past, modest grants, but small amount of grants to let us function. They also commissioned us to try to get yoga into every secondary school in the city, which we're in the process of trying to do now. We get money from the Sussex Community Foundation, Sport England, Active Sussex, the lottery, all of it. I think we applied for, I think it's 37 grants in 5 years, and we've got 19 of them, so not a bad success rate. Modest grants, small grants. We don't get £50,000. I wish. We get sort of £3,000, £4,000, £5,000, but it all adds up. The feedback that we get from our clients, the people who come to our stuff, is incredibly positive. Sometimes I'm embarrassed reading it out because I think people will assume I've made it up. But I promise you we haven't made it up. I mean, just a few quick quotes. Zoom yoga was an absolute lifesaver for me during lockdown. Another one. These yoga classes have literally transformed my life. Another one. Over the years, I've tried every therapy the NHS has to offer, and your classes are the first one that's been effective. Couldn't make those up, really. And just a sort of testimony we got from Oasis, who deal with people suffering from addictions. Oasis works with women in recovery. The majority have suffered traumas, mental health issues. The yoga that you offer at Oasis Project provides opportunities for our clients to rebuild their physical and emotional strengths. Women who've taken part in yoga sessions report they feel calmer, are more grounded, and start to believe in themselves again. So, you know, we're unusual here in Brighton. I don't know whether you realise this, but it's something which I know because I'm interested in this sort of stuff. But we have the largest yoga community per head of population in the UK and probably in Europe. And, you know, there's always been a well-being tradition in Brighton. Those of you who know about the history of Brighton, if you look into the Prince Regent and taking the waters of Brighton Beach and all that sort of stuff, there's always been that sort of, that strand of thinking, you know, the well-being sort of thinking. And the yoga community has grown up as part of that, really, and has helped to develop that strand. There are, in this city alone, there are 20 yoga and well-being centres, 20, and 25 more in Sussex. Just to give you some sort of, and the first one in Brighton was set up in Kemp Town in 1969. So it's a long-running history, actually, here in Brighton, relatively speaking, compared to other areas. We reckon there are 800-plus yoga teachers in Brighton at home. 800. So that's one for every 300 adults, which is overkill in my book. It's a bit like those streets, you know, you get those streets like Preston Street, Brighton or else, or East Street, whatever, you get all the good restaurants, you know, loads and loads of restaurants there. And you think, another one's opening up. How can that possibly be? It's the same with yoga centres and yoga teachers in Brighton. Every square inch, there's another yoga teacher and another yoga centre being opened up. We're seen very much as a sort of umbrella body for the yoga community in the city. We do things for the yoga community itself, like we have a directory of studios and of teachers. We run forums for the yoga teachers. We provide a yoga mat rental service for people who need yoga mats and stuff like that. And we're doing a project on the history of yoga in the city, which I'm really interested in as well. We're quite influential. I mean, we've got 4,500 Facebook likes. I'm not really quite sure what that means, but anyway, I'm told it's very important. We have 5,000 emails, 2,000 likes on Instagram, or the equivalent, whatever that is. And we have a lot of influence in the local yoga and wellbeing community, which, you know, we try to put to good effect. We try to push the yoga community into doing the sort of work that we're doing. Not just to work with the young, fit and healthy, but to work with the people who are not young, fit and healthy as well. So what do we do? So just to give you a couple of things just about our history. We started in late 2013, and we... it's a funny story. I don't know whether to tell this funny story, but I will. What the hell? So, in 2013, the end of 2013, partly to my surprise, I was selected by the Green Party to stand as the parliamentary candidate in Brighton Kemp Town. And I discovered in that process that I was the first qualified yoga teacher in the UK ever to stand for Parliament. And I thought, well, there was no chance of me winning the seat because it was a close Conservative Labour marginal and the Greens were miles away in those days, in back to 2015. So I thought, well, I'd get the yoga community involved. And so we organised a Brighton Yoga Festival in 2014 in St George's Church, the lovely St George's Church, if you know it. People go to gigs there, it's a great place, in Kemp Town, as part of me standing for Parliament at the time. And we organised this festival, and we expected to get 200 or 300 people there. We got 1,200 people showed up to the St George's Church, which was a bit packed. And we sort of all collapsed at the end of that festival, because it was a lot of work, you know, putting it together. And a few weeks later, the emails started coming in saying, when's next year's? And we realised we were on the permanent hamster wheel of organising an annual... And we've organised an annual festival ever since. Although the last two have had to be on Zoom for obvious reasons. And by the month in 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019 had 3,000 people, which it makes it the biggest yoga festival in Europe, which is free, which again is in Brighton. And we did it to raise money for our outreach work. We became a charity, a registered charity in 2016. We'd always been raising money for charity at our festivals anyway, but we thought we should become a charity ourselves and do the sort of work that we want to do. And so we used to raise a lot of money at the festival. Even though it was free, we would actually get people to donate, and we'd get businesses to support us, and people would take out food franchises to sell their stuff there and all the rest of it. So we would make money on it. The last 2 years, we haven't made any money from our festivals because of COVID and so on. We became a registered charity, and we're still quite a small charity. I mean, we don't have an office, and we don't have any full-time staff. We have one person working 2 days a week to organise all of this, organising 11 yoga classes a week for vulnerable people who need a lot of hand-holding and support. It's a lot of work. We have the other occasional freelancer who works for us on you know, for various things, like maybe on PR and marketing and organising our festivals, that type of thing. But most of us, the trustees do the work. You know, in an ideal world, you have a charity and the trustees are up here. And they say, yes, let's do this and let's do that. And then they have people down there doing the work. Well, we're sort of up here and down there. And so, for example, I've worked for 7.5, 8 years, 10, 20 hours a week unpaid to keep this thing going. And other trustees are putting in a similar amount of time. So we're looking for sponsorship, support in kind. There are a number of organisations. We became recently members. I was talking to a colleague here about the Chamber of Commerce and Lewis. We recently joined the Brighton Chamber of Commerce, and to my surprise, it's been unbelievably helpful. I had no idea. I've never really worked in the business community, and was slightly sceptical of the value, but it's proved to be really, really helpful. Lots of useful people giving us time, giving us suggestions, connections, marketing people giving us advice on our website or that type of thing. All the usual sort of stuff. I don't want to pretend that we're the best charity. I don't want to compete with other charities. We work with other charities. But what I do think is true about us is that we feel like, with all the sort of problems that have occurred, particularly around COVID and subsequently, all the other things I mentioned at the beginning, that our time has come. Because what we're doing, we almost uniquely can tackle so many of those different issues. And so we're not competing with other... I'm sure you've had other wonderful speakers and really interesting charities and all the rest of it. They're great, fantastic. But we think our time has come now, and so we seek your support, and if any of you can help, we don't think our offer could ever be more relevant than it is now. If you can help us in any way, we'd be very grateful.